Welcome back to America Weekend. This is the place on the weekend where you can just enjoy the show, relax, maybe listen while you're busy doing something, washing the car, baking a cake, or maybe you're even working this weekend. That's okay. Listen, it's okay. Don't get nervous. I'm happy to be with you. I'm Valerie Smaldone. The program is America Weekend with Valerie Smaldone and friends. And every week, I defer to my culture expert, Al Katabiani, who is founder of the cool website, Culture Sonar. And I use the word cool well because the tagline is cool stuff to see, hear, read, and do. And there's a lot that falls between the online pages of Culture Sonar. This week, Al Katabiani talks about some films and the art of coupling.
Somebody somewhere once said that humans are meant to go through life two by two. That may or may not be true, but finding a partner for life, or sometimes a lot less, sure does take up a lot of our time. So let's talk today about an unusual film and an edgy web series that each has a very particular take on coupling. Those of you with a sense of cinematic adventure have probably heard about The Lobster, even if it hasn't made it to your local art house theater yet. After scoring big time at the Cannes Film Festival, the film's been steadily building momentum, and it shows no signs of slowing down. It's been particularly popular among Gen Xers, and once you hear a bit more, you'll understand why. First off, there's the drawing power of The Lobster's two leads, Colin Farrell and Rachel Weisz, who can be seen on alternate posters, each embracing a blank space shaped like the other. The posters call it an unconventional love story, which is absolutely true. The premise is that we're now living in a world where every citizen must take a hard line on their relationship status. Facebook update, anyone? Either you're a member of a couple linked by a particular physical trait like a lisp, great hair, or a tendency toward nosebleeds, or you're a quote-unquote loner, rejected from society and left to scrape out an existence on the fringe. When we meet the nearsighted David, played by Farrell, he's being rejected by his similarly nearsighted wife, who's leaving him for another short-sighted man. In order to find a new partner, David checks into a matchmaking hotel where guests are given 45 days to find a suitable mate. Those who don't are turned into an animal. Just to be sure we don't miss the point, David is accompanied by his dog, who's actually his brother who was unable to complete the program. So the question is, how far would you go to find a mate if your life depended on it? For example, a limping man bashes his own face to court nosebleed woman. The other examples are a little bit too PG-13 to mention here. Sure, this can all be kind of depressing, but our reviewer Alexis Rhiannon also found herself laughing out loud because this really is a dark comedy. On the other end of the spectrum is a new web series, The Benefits of Guspandry. It's somewhere between a totally updated Will and Grace and a cruder, edgier, gayer Portlandia. Our correspondent Maitland McDonough thinks of it as a comedy of politically correct errors set among the hipster set. We first meet the main characters as Jackie is barely enduring her 40th birthday party, where the slightly younger River is texting a potential hookup while handing Jackie a surprisingly nice box of chocolates. The two connect pretty quickly and continue flirting despite figuring out they're not really compatible in that way. This sharp series isn't really the new Will and Grace, with the usual sitcom structure and predictable characters. And it's not an alt-modern family either, where gay daddies focus on the PTA and children's parties instead of more adult pursuits. The Benefits of Guspandry portrays a goofier, looser set of neuroses. Hey, it is Portland, after all, where the only way to guarantee you won't run into an ex is to boycott friends' parties, the legal weed emporium, local coffee bars, and some truly odd performance art. In this life, you have to suck it up and get out. Jackie and River aren't old, but they aren't kids either. They've got some miles on them, but they don't whine about it. those old jokes women make about boyfriends who are just gay enough to like show tunes, to look sharp, and to cook more than Kraft mac and cheese, are a different kind of funny when said boyfriend turns out to be only gay enough to be, well, gay. As Jackie's sweet and vaguely clueless dad puts it, gay has changed so much from when I was a kid. If you spend any time with the lobster or the benefits of Gusmundry, you realize we've come a long way from I Love Lucy. You can dig deeper and find more cool stuff to see, hear, read, and do by visiting culturesonar.com or our Facebook page, romantically called Culture Sonar.
Thanks, Al Kattabiani. I'm Valerie Smaldone, and this is America Weekend.
America Weekend. Think green. Harrison with you. Remember when they used to say what's good for General Motors is good for America? Well, General Motors has started reopening car plants, this time hiring all-American labor and during a recession. William Tiger, the White Marsh, Maryland plant manager.
We had a great announcement today. We're able to announce that General Motors is investing $246 million into developing and implementing this new motor technology. It's going to wind up being a first for General Motors to manufacture motors here in the U.S. It's also an announcement for White Marsh because we're going to wind up creating about another 200 additional jobs. We have the ability for the big cars to get better mileage. This new technology actually takes a motor, it'll be 20% smaller, 20% lighter, and it'll have 20% more power.
GM plant manager William Tiger from the Greeniverse.
Think green with Harrison at GoHarrison.com. Where are they now with Ahmad Rashad?
He's the first player to return to the NBA after a kidney transplant, and his Memorial Day miracle shot helped lead the San Antonio Spurs to their first world title.
Into Sean Elliott. He fires the three.
So where is Sean Elliott now? After retiring in 2001, Sean worked for NBC, ABC, and ESPN before settling in as color commentator for local TV broadcast in San Antonio. The Spurs honored Sean in 2005 by retiring his jersey. Sean made headlines in 2012 when Sacramento Kings player DeMarcus Cousins confronted Sean after Sean criticized DeMarcus on air for trash talking. Looks like Sean Elliott's on a mission to stop trash talking. I'm Ahmad Rashad.
Just because you don't have time to read a book doesn't mean you can't enjoy stories about artists and groups that you love. To discover a whole new world of audiobooks and hear the stories that made the music, visit HappyLandAudio.com. That's HappyLandAudio.com.